Hello everyone, and welcome to this physics lecture on the role of imaging and imagination in radiotherapy. My name is Assam Al-Naqa, and I'm from the University of Michigan. These are my disclosures. As you know, the goal of these activities is to give the learner an opportunity to increase their level of knowledge and skills, and potentially applying these skills for their practice. There is nothing more clear than image guidance radiotherapy for that purpose. So our learning objectives are going to be distinguish the different approaches to image guidance in radiation therapy, then relating the impact of these technologies on the expected delivered dose distributions and treatment outcomes, recognize and evaluate how conventional and emerging technologies will improve image-guided radiotherapy and how this could fit into your clinical practice. Now, imaging in radiology versus radiotherapy, there are some distinctions between the two. Imaging in diagnostic radiology is used for detection, lesion or no lesion, stages, benign, early or advanced malignancy disease. In the case of radiation therapy, there are two goals: planning, that is target definition, simulation or delivery, setup verification or tracking. This is the common example for radiotherapy treatment planning, and you can see imaging plays a prominent role, whether it is starting at the scanning, delineation and localization of the tumors and organ at risk, and through also the treatment planning process and virtual simulation. Then, of course, setup verification before delivery, as seen in this flowchart. Some target localization technologies over the year has been ultrasound using KV images, like in the case of CyberKnife here, or historically portal imaging has been also involved. Passive and active markers that actually injected into the patient. CT on rail, this is an example from the Siemens system. Tomotherapy use MV type imaging, or the Elekta and the Varian OBI, which both use combeam CT imaging on board. So why image guidance? This is an example from the world of hockey, from our northern neighbors, and you can see it's important to see the puck in order to be able to hit it. And the same thing with cancer, we need to be able to see it in order to hit it. This is in the words, of course, of Bill Powers and Harold Jones. Now, OBI imaging consists of two types. There is the IPID, that's an MV portal imager, and there is the KV, which can give you a better contrast, where you have a source and you have a detector. Now, this is the head and neck example. In the top left, you see a combeam CT overlaid on a FAM beam CT. In the top middle, you see the CT digital reconstructed radiograph, the DRR. And in the top right, you see the KV radiograph, which shows a higher contrast. In the bottom, you see the corresponding coronal views, as well as on the bottom right, you see an IPID image showing the portal view overlaid on the open field. And you can notice here the lower contrast. Imaging has evolved over the years from being an analog modality into becoming a digital modality. So X-ray film as an analog modality provided excellent image quality, large field of view, and higher spatial resolution. However, it suffered from longer chemical processing and requirements for dark rooms. Digital modalities evolved in the 1970s, CT, PET, and MR, and met the desire to communicate between remote facilities, for instance, using DICOM protocols. It also saved cost and space that was required by analog films and offered several technical advantages. If you're looking at this plot of optical density and air Kermit amount of irradiation exposure, you can see that the relationship in the case of screen film follows a sigmoidal shape, suffering from underexposure and overexposure issues. While in the case of digital film, the relationship is almost linear, expanding the dynamic range without such complications. Let me remind you of some basic radiography principles. There are two types of imaging. Projection imaging refers to the acquisition of a 2D image of the patient's 3D anatomy, as in the case of chest X-ray. And transmission imaging, where X-ray source is positioned at one side of the patient's body and the image is detected at the other side, as in the case of CT, for instance. This can be compared to emission imaging, like injection of a radioisotope, as in the case of FDG PET, or reflection imaging, as in the case of ultrasound. Some basics of projection radiography. You will have, this is a typical X-ray imaging, so you have an X-ray tube, you have filters in order to improve the penetration of the field. This is a form of Harding and collimation to limit scatterings. On the other end, there is a detector, which is a photocell type, and there is an anti-scatter grid also to remove blurring of these images and improve its quality. In the context of tomography and CT scanners, we're having a gantry and there is a couch, and when the patient is moving on the couch, it's through the gantry, the gantry would rotate and create this tomographic multi-projection type images. It also consists of an X-ray tube, there is also collimation, and there is a compensating filter called the bowtie filters in order to adjust to the body contours, which don't tends to be flat, and this is the reconstruction area, and the size of this can affect the amount of blurring associated with CT scanning. Other tracking systems could be also using electromagnetic transponders. One example of doing this is using the Calypso system as showing here, which is like antennas in the bodies, and this is detecting where the localization of the tumors. However, this is like a point type measurement, like, rather than having a volumetric type measurement. Motion is important, as we recognize in radio therapy, for example, these slung images, and we can develop these 4D CT technologies that allow us to track where the cancer is. And you can see from these images, which are phase sorted images of the diaphragm that is moving, and you can see there are some artifacts accounting for missing slices when doing this kind of sorting. Technologies that would allow us for conducting 4D CT and accounting for motion, respiratory motion, could be the spirometry technology, like I've seen, which is a tube that the patients would breathe through, that system that, for example, a commercial system called SDX, and it's a measure of airflow. Other systems are track the abdomen motions based on bellows, which is pneumatic belts with varying pressure based on the abdomen circumference. Another way to account for information in order for use it for treatment planning is what's called is the intensity projection over the faces, or maximum intensity projection. One example of that, which is called the MIP images, which pretty much an overestimate about the motion of the patients. In this case, the over the average estimates would be given by this probability function. So this one will give an overestimate, which is pretty conservative, and this is will give the projected probability in order to track the motion itself. Now, switching from CT imaging to multimodality imaging. So here we're switching from X-ray imaging to other existing imaging modality that includes ultrasound, which has a physiologic component, magnetic resonance imaging, which has anatomical and functional aspects to it, radionuclide imaging, which primarily focus on the functional and physiological aspects of the imaging, and of course there is optical images which can be used with other molecular tracers but with limited penetration as well. Just to show you the value of combining anatomy with function, this is an example of PET CT in the case of head and neck, and the process of combining these two images together through a registration process is called fusion. So this is, you can see, this is the cancer area, which is much clearer compared to using CT or PET when you are doing a PET CT type acquisition. This is a magnification of this case. Now, the technologies of PET CT started by looking at PET imaging alone, and this is an example of a PET imager, and this is the corresponding image, getting the anatomy of CT, and then currently we most likely is doing this fusion of combining PET CT information. Practically, it's actually a sequential acquisition. It can start by a helical CT, which takes a few seconds, then followed by a PET imaging, which is up to about 6 to 30 minutes in total for a whole body PET imaging. Now, the value of the CT acquisition with the PET is also allows for attenuation correction, generating higher quality PET image, and this is how this process actually starts. So there is a topogram just for alignment purposes. This is the sinogram of the CT images. This is the reconstruction of the corresponding CT. Same thing with the PET. You get an attenuation map, and you create a PET image, and you can take actually from the CT image, this is generate this attenuation map and combine it with the emission image that comes from the PET to generate the emission images and fuse the PET CT to have better delineation about where the cancer practically is. However, PET CT, when you combine multiple modality, can be also subject for sources of artifacts. We mentioned the motion could be a source of artifacts. Also, metals could be another source of artifact because of IZ materials tends to create photon starvation, which would lead to some artifacts. This is an example from a dental head and neck case as shown here. Injection of contrast agents could be also a problem when you are doing attenuation correction with PET imaging. And of course, any foreign object or foreign material can also be problematic when you are doing PET CT acquisition and not accounting for such type issues. So this is when doing multimodality images, care should be taken, especially when you're doing attenuation correction. Here is an example for using PET CT for image guidance and simulation. And you can see some differences from the standard practice in a diagnostic nuclear medicine department. So there is the flat couch, there is the larger bore in order to allow for immobilization of the patients. There are also the possibility of doing tattooing and putting landmarkers and the use of lasers. This is followed by conducting of fusion that can be done rigid or done non-rigid, then the definition of the targets. And the different structure, the GTV and the PTV, organs at risk. Then the imaging information is being transferred using, for instance, DICOM into the treatment planning system, where the process follows the standards of conducting the those virtual simulation. Then there is the plan verification process and the treatment delivery. Aside from PET CT, you can also conduct PET MR, and in the context of PET MR, MR provide better soft tissue discrimination compared to CT. And these are examples, particularly this has been successful in the case of neuro images as shown, brain images as shown in this example here. Now, in terms of newer technologies and doing onboard imaging, currently there is actually the possibility to combining MR, which is so, with its soft tissue discrimination, with a linear with the delivery, opposite to using a cone beam CT. And these are some examples of these technologies. There is the Elekta Unity, which is about a 1.5 Tesla machine. There is the ViewRay linear accelerator, which is about a 0.35 Tesla machine. Of course, there is a PMH solution, which is MR on rail, which is used in surgical suites. And there is also other solution under construction. This is an Australian solution, and this is another solution in Alberta, trying when you are combining MR with a linear accelerator, accounting to electromagnetic interference between them, or that effects called the electron retention, minimizing these kind of effects by these kind of technology. This is a ViewRay MR LINAC example, courtesy of Dr. Lighthouse from Henry Ford, where the patient is being verbally coached and there is an endophaxial breath hold being applied. And you can see how the tumor is moving while the radiation is being delivered in real time. This is another example using a similar MR LINAC system. However, it's a free breathing system with an endophaxial gating. And you can see how the beam is being, where the beam is being delivered and how the tumor is moving. Currently, most of this adaptation process happens offline, but you can envision in the future that this process can be also done in real time. Now, in addition to doing an MR Linac, there is also the possibility of doing a PET Linac, which is called a biologically guided RT system. This is the reflection system, and this is specifically useful in the case when trying to target mets or oligomets, as shown in this lung cancer case, where the tumors actually light up on these images, making it easier during the delivery, during the process of the patient is on the couch to deliver more accurate radiation to the cancer while avoiding the normal tissue. Now, the cone beam CT system or the onboard imaging also went through a modification recently, which allow you to do adaptive treatment with the iterative cone beam CT, which has higher quality than the traditional CT images. So you can see this is a traditional CT with its common artifacts, and this is a new iterative cone beam CT, which is much higher quality. This would enable on-the-fly treatment planning and modification of the radiation dose to changes in anatomy, as you see in this example shown here. In the previous examples, using MR Linac or PET Linac or cone beam CT in the Linac, we saw how we can track anatomy motion in real time. But how about where the radiation is going, and can we visualize the delivery of radiation? Traditionally, this could be done using in vitro dosimetry techniques that we are familiar with that can be used offline, like radiographic films, gas detectors, ion chambers, for instance, calorimetry, TLD, scintillators, semiconductors such as diodes or MOSFETs, or chemicals like the flaky gels or polymers. However, one of these actually MOSFETs could be done actually in real time, but this would require a surgical procedure. Alternatively, we can use in vivo dosimetry techniques. These techniques actually rely on some of the characteristics of X-ray interactions with tissue. This X-ray interaction with tissue can generate light known as Cherenkov emission, as shown in this example here. This light is blue, and it's actually similar to what you see in a nuclear reactors. And some patients have reported seeing this blue light. This blue light is actually proportional to the radiation dose and can be used as an indicator where the radiation is going, at least in superficial type of tumors. Another interaction that would allow us to visualize the radiation at deeper tissue is the ultrasound interactions. And this is the results of radiation heats the tissue, particularly pulsated radiation. This will generate in pressure waves and could be translated into acoustic waves that can be detected by ultrasound transducers. So talking about the site of radiation or Cherenkov emission, you can see there is almost a linear relationship between the radiation being delivered and that of fluorescent light that can be used for online dosimetry. These are an example of Cherenkov emission, and this is an IPET emission, and you can actually overlay the two on top of each other. There are currently actually even commercial entities that are developing camera systems. These are charge coupled detector type system that would enable measurements where the radiation is actually going while the patient is being treated. However, this, since this is depending on light, it is likely to be mostly a superficial type of acquisition. Alternatively, you can develop technologies to improve the depth. One of these technologies was called the silicon photomultiplier detectors, actually shown here. And this could be small detectors that can be put on the surface, for example, of the breast in order to figure out where the radiation as like sensors, not to figure out where the radiation is actually coming. These also kind of measurements would allow to conduct in spectroscopy, measuring other molecules of interest, such as the acidity and pH. And this is an example actually shown here that the acidity of the tumor as measured by measuring of emissions can be used to distinguish between aggressive and non-aggressive type of tumor. And this is showing cases of HPV positive, which is typically responsive to radiation, and HPV negative, which typically non-responsive to radiation, tends to be more acidic. Another technology that would allow in vivo measurement of radiation dose is X-ray acoustics. The signal of X-ray acoustics can be detected if using metals, as shown in this experimental setup, as well as in water or soft tissue. It also depends on the level of energy. So it's for higher energy, the signal-to-noise ratio is going to be higher. This radiation acoustic signals can, it's proportional to the amount of radiation being delivered, as shown in this example of this multi-leaf collimators, where it follows pretty much the shape of the radiation as well, and allow visualization of radiation in real time. So what can we do with this kind of technology? If we combine it with ultrasound, then we can combine anatomy measurements as well as X-ray measurements using pretty much a similar compatible type of system. On the top, you can see a phantom studies for a liver and on a phantom, and that's being tracked in real time using X-ray acoustics and ultrasound measurements. This will allow us to see any misalignments that can happen during delivery. To demonstrate that in an in vivo system, a rabbit animal experiment was conducted and the beam was delivered in an AP direction. And you can see here, the beam is going and how motion of the using ultrasound is being detected. So some of the take-home messages from this is that first, imaging guidance for radiotherapy has transformed over the past decades from offline imaging with X-ray and CT into more online imaging modality, whether using MR or PET. Combined CT Linac or OBI imaging has evolved into the MR Linac and the PET Linac, allowing for better imaging of soft tissue as well as biology as well. There are new emerging technologies such as Cherenkov emission and radiation acoustics, not allowing also the visualization of anatomy, but also the visualization as radiation is being delivered in real time. So we're living in a pretty exciting time, and this is some of the technologies that are currently available for you in order to use in your practice, from the MR Linac to the PET Linac to the Combeam CT Linac to these other type of technologies. So we're living in a very exciting time. And now lead us this poll question: which imaging modality will prefer in radiotherapy future? CT Linac, MR Linac, PET Linac, US Linac, or something else? Look to your answer to this question.